Yesterday was Good Shepherd Sunday, and we reflected on this beautiful image of Jesus as a shepherd and we as the sheep. It's an image that's so beautiful that it kind of dominates our whole reflection on this idea of shepherds and sheep. Of course, the Old Testament presents God as a shepherd, and there's lots of shepherds. And this idea of the good shepherd being so good that he lays down his life for his sheep, that's just extraordinary. It's just extraordinarily appealing. And that was in yesterday's gospel. It's not in today's gospel. This is, what we're reading here is the verses before what we heard yesterday. And it's a little bit different. So, in fact, it's so different that even the people who heard him use this image, they didn't get it. And so, of course, we don't get it either. If they didn't get it, how can we get it? Because what we naturally think of right away is Jesus is the good shepherd. But here, at the beginning of this gospel, he starts to talk about the sheepfold, the gate, the thief, the robber, the gatekeeper, the shepherd, and then the shepherd, the gatekeeper letting the shepherd into the sheepfold. And it throws us off, because who's who here? Who's this gatekeeper? Who are these shepherds? Who is this stranger? So, see, what he's building on here is what would have been commonly understood by the people of his time. It wasn't just one shepherd and one flock. That's the way it is in God's eyes. But in the culture of the time, there were a lot of shepherds, and they all had their own flocks. And at night, very often, they would gather several flocks into a pen for protection. And then there'd be one opening to the pen, that would be the gate, and there'd be one person all night long watching over the gate and kind of keeping track. So we think of shepherds because we think of the story of Christmas. You know, we think of the shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks. And sometimes that's how it was. But in this image, they have a pen, probably a stone wall or some kind of a enclosure to protect the sheep at night. And you could imagine that anybody coming in through the gate would be trustworthy, or at least the gatekeeper could let in those whom he recognized, and anybody who jumped over the wall would be an untrustworthy figure, or a thief, or a robber, or a wolf. Okay, so the key in this description of the sheepfold is this line: when the shepherd comes in, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is, I think, what Jesus was trying to get to in this part of the parable. The sheep know their own shepherd, and the shepherd knows his own sheep, and he calls them by name. They recognize his voice, and that's why they follow him. They don't recognize the voice of strangers, and that's why they don't follow a stranger. In fact, it says here, they run away from the stranger because they don't recognize the voice. Now, this, I think, is a good instruction for us, because we are the sheep of the Lord. He's certainly our shepherd, and he knows us. He knows us by name. He calls us. The closer we draw to the Lord, the more readily we recognize his voice, and the more quickly we can distinguish his voice from the voice of strangers. And this should happen interiorly to us. We should have a sense right away, the Lord is indicating this to me. This is the Lord's voice. And when we hear something that just doesn't seem like it comes from God, we should recognize that right away. Like, that doesn't fit. That doesn't come from God. And that's a growing sense. Now, it can happen that we can't tell. I'm not sure if the Lord is telling me this or not, and then we have to discern. And usually we need help for that. We discuss it with others. We consult the church so that we can discern, is this coming from God or not? But as we grow, we should grow more and more sensitive to the voice of the Lord. That's the Christian life, right? That's the interior life. When God speaks, we should be more and more ready to respond with faith. And when somebody else busts in on us, and this happens every single day, some voice comes in and says something that does not come from God, we should recognize it and say, no, no. In fact, we should run away from it. That's fleeing temptation. Okay, so that's the first part of the gospel. Then, when they don't understand what he's talking about, he shifts it and introduces something a little bit different. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. Well, that one throws us. Because a second ago he was a shepherd, now he's a gate. And a shepherd is a very appealing image, but a gate is not. A shepherd, at least, is a person. And we understand a person calling us by name and following him. But when an inanimate object is introduced, it's a little harder. Now, we had that last week when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And it appeals to us because we understand the importance of food, good food, nourishing food, food that gives us life and food that gives us eternal life. Well, we can get that. But we don't think of bread as we don't think of bread as a person until we get to the Eucharist. But here, a gate is even harder for us, at least for me, to recognize as a good thing. Like, what's the big deal of a gate? And what's a gate? Well, okay, we have to ponder it a little bit. A gate is the entrance and exit. It's the boundary. It's the permeable barrier. It's the way to get in and out of the enclosure. And Jesus says, I'm the gate. Now, I have in my mind gates because I live in the Philippines and we have a lot of gates, and properties generally have fences and gates or walls, not like here where you could just walk right up to the building. But in our compound in the Philippines, there's the building, but then there's this, at the property line, there's a fence or a wall and there's a gate. And we recently remodeled our enclosure because we wanted to make it accessible to people in wheelchairs. So we moved the gate, and the new gate is not quite finished. And so it has this locking mechanism that when it's turned, when you close the gate, it locks and you can't get in from the outside. So a couple of times I've been locked out of our own compound. I had to climb over the fence to get into the compound because I couldn't get in. So that's not yet how we want it. But if we don't do the latch, then the wind blows the gate open so that it's not a gate at all. It's just an opening in the fence. So that, I have that in my mind. Anyway, here I was climbing over the fence. I said, maybe I'm the thief and the robber. But this idea of a gate, and Jesus says, whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Through me, again, even though I've thought of this before, and maybe you have too, but what is this coming in and going out? I mean, if we consider the pasture as the will of God, we should never go out. Or if we consider the pasture the kingdom of God, well, we should never go out. We should go in and not go out again. But here he's talking about some kind of movement in and out. And I think, now this is just my own reflection, I don't know if it's really true, I think he's talking about the spiritual life, which has its interior dimension and its exterior dimension. We have an interior life and we have our outer life. And the Lord is the shepherd of both of these. And when it's time to withdraw and pray, we should have a sense why it's time to spend time with God now. This is my prayer time. This is a time to come to Mass or come to the chapel or come to adoration or to withdraw from external activity. It's time to put my phone away or turn off the computer or whatever, because it's time to be inside with God. And the shepherd wants me inside the enclosure here. I think you know what I mean. There's times when you say, no, it's time to pray, not time to look at the phone. But then there are times we have to go out. We have to do our work. We have to deal with our families. We have to go do the shopping or the banking or the whatever, the ministry. And we have to go out of the sheepfold. It doesn't mean that we're outside the care of the shepherd, because he says, you come in and go out and find pasture. The pasture is out there, and the harvest is out there. So there's an important aspect of the Christian life, which is to go out. And we don't spend our whole life sitting in the chapel, right? I mean, you're only going to be here for 45 minutes, and then you go out and do your work or take care of your families or do your ministry. Or wash the dishes. I mean, there's things to do. I mean, there's not things to do. And that's right. But it doesn't mean that we leave the shepherd behind. We're guided by the shepherd and protected by the shepherd wherever we go, as long as we're ready to follow. The thief comes in to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, this image is really beautiful, isn't it? Abundant life. Abundant life, which is both interior and exterior. It's what's going on within us, which is secret, no one even knows, and the fruitfulness of a life of service, of a life of sacrifice, where love is reigning. Not everybody is welcoming love, but we at least know that this is the best way to live, by love. That's the abundant life. Okay, now, so it's a beautiful image to reflect on: the shepherd, the gate, the interior life, the listening to the shepherd's voice, the one who calls us by name. Now, this first reading, which comes from the Acts of the Apostles, introduces another dimension of the shepherd and the sheep. This is where Peter recounts his understanding, or his the way he learned that Gentiles are also acceptable to God, that Gentiles are also included in the plan of God, which was a bit of a shock to the Jews, right? The Jews knew they were the chosen people, and it was hard for them to understand that God would choose anybody else, because he obviously chose the Jews, and he did. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, the call of God is expanded from the Jews, from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, right? From the Jews to all nations. And that required a shift. Talk about a paradigm shift. This is an example of it. So Peter gets the instruction by a vision from heaven that what God has called clean or made clean, you are not to call profane. So what those whom God has chosen, you're not supposed to reject them just because they're not Jews. It's an example of Peter hearing the voice. And sometimes the voice of God surprises us. He has something else in mind. And then when the people in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem, heard that Peter went to this house of this pagan, this centurion, and ate with them, they're all scandalized. And so they have to get explained. And then they have to recognize this is the voice of the shepherd too. The shepherd also calls these Gentiles. Now, I just want to make a little explanation here. I hope this makes sense to you. But you see, this call of the shepherd to all people, you know, there's no one excluded from the call of the shepherd. And Pope Francis has emphasized this many, many times. Everybody belongs to God. And God loves everybody. He welcomes everybody. It's true. And we can't place barriers. We can't call unclean what God has called clean. And that's certainly true. But what sometimes happens nowadays is that people say, well, since God loves everybody and God calls everybody, everything's okay and every behavior is okay. It's kind of a big, as if there's no distinction between who is following the shepherd and who's not. Everybody belongs to the shepherd. It's a distortion of the truth that God loves everyone and calls everyone, the universality of God's love. It's a distortion of that truth. And it's most clear nowadays, I think, in the opinions of some people who represent LGBT plus community. Of course, God loves all LGBT community. God loves everybody. There isn't any distinction. But it doesn't mean that everyone can do whatever they want because God loves everybody. It doesn't mean that everyone can determine for himself or herself what is the right way to live. That's not following the shepherd. That's just following ourselves. That's following our own voice or the voice of the world. So the danger here is that the overemphasis on the universality of God's love eliminates the necessity of following the shepherd. If we're not following the shepherd is not the one who excludes us. We exclude ourselves. And anyone who knows his or her sin knows that it's possible for us to hear the call and not follow it. And that's what we do when we sin. So if people are accepting the call of the Lord and not following it, it's not God who excludes them. And it's not the church who excludes them. They exclude themselves. And that's a tragedy. So that's not God's plan. It's not what we should want. We should not be prejudiced, excluding anybody. But neither should we pretend that everybody is following the shepherd if they're not. So I think that's a legitimate lesson to be taken from these readings, even if it's maybe specific to our times. Certainly wasn't in the biblical times to talk about LGBT, but it's our times. This is a need for us to understand how the love of God and the call of the shepherd is to be understood, and how we are all to follow. And to run away from voices that are not the voice of the shepherd. And there's a lot of voices that are not from the shepherd. Okay? So thanks be to God that the Lord does call us, and he keeps calling us, even when we do sometimes don't recognize his voice and we sometimes don't follow. He doesn't stop calling us by name and loving us.